Good morning. Thank you all for coming to listen to this talk today. My name's Megan Simmons, and forgive my voice. I'm going to try and get through this. I'll be talking to you today about the influence of flood irrigation and rice systems on the spatial distribution of soil nutrients, plant nutrient uptake, and yield. So I'll start off by giving a background on why studying spatial variability is important, and particularly in rice systems. And I'll give the hypotheses of our experiment, the materials and methods we use to test these, and a brief summary of our results, and a summary and conclusions at the end. So why study spatial variability? Well, first of all, it exists in all ecosystems at multiple scales. And understanding the processes and mechanisms that cause this variability is critical for management, particularly in agricultural systems, since we're trying to make them more efficient and sustainable. Here's an example of an interpolated soil potassium map of two adjacent rice fields. And you can see there's clearly patterns in the field where you have high and low soil potassium. So precision agriculture, the goal of that is to basically give an individual plant what it needs at the right time. And so why in rice systems is this important? Well, rice is arguably the world's most important food source. And here in California, we have the opportunity to study it. We have 200,000 hectares of it grown. And our field sites were in Sacramento Valley. It's the largest crop there. And the complexity of rice systems adds to the difficulty of describing the causes of the variability. Due to the nature of the system, there's flood irrigation, so you have water coming in. And I'll explain that on the next slide. So here's a satellite image of a typical rice field. It's the large rectangle in the center here. It's divided into several subfields called basins. And conventionally, you have a flow-through water system in which water enters through an inlet at the top part of the field and fills each basin consecutively, moving down the field through what are called rice boxes or weirs, and growers can control the flow path and the water depth in their fields with these boxes. So water will fill up the entire field, and growers will typically close off the outlet and throughout the growing season and have a permanent flood in which a slow amount of water trickles in the field and just replaces water loss to evapotranspiration. So what effect would this actually have on the distribution of soil nutrients in the field? And so that's what we're looking at. We predict that flood water entering through the inlet is going to redistribute soil organic carbon and soil nutrients down the field, leading to long-term changes in soil fertility. And in turn, we expect to see soil nutrient concentrations increasing with increasing distance from the inlet, as well as nutrient uptake and yield. So we have four different rice fields that were the subject of the study. We had a two-year on-farm study at these sites located in the Sacramento Valley. And the fields ranged in size from 23 to 69 hectares. And I just would like to point out, in field two, there was four basins. But in 2009, they converted the top two basins into a preserve for wildlife. So these are treated. The second year, it's called field 2M, being modified. So we approached this having a sampling pattern on those fields. Those were the yellow points. They were all geo-referenced, and we collected water samples from the surface water at two different times during the growing season, once during the initial flood, and second, later in the season when you have green biomass growing in the field, and it was close to the flowering stage of the plant. And we measured a suite of chemical properties in the water. And also, at all of those sampling locations, we measured soil chemical properties. And this was done prior to flooding and application of fertilizer. And at harvest, we took a subset of those grid sampling locations and measured the above-ground biomass, the plant uptake of N, P, and K, and commercial yield monitors were used to record yield like every couple seconds as the harvesting equipment moved through the field. And so the analytical approach we took was to do a trend analysis in which The plant, soil, and water properties were a function of the distance from the inlet, and all the inlets are going to be at the top of the field, and outlet is at the bottom. And we used a spatial permutation for the p-value due to the spatial autocorrelation in the field. And this is a summary of the chemical fertilizer that was applied in the fields. It's an average of 2008 and 2009. The majority of the nitrogen is injected below the surface as aqueous nitrogen, and then you have a smaller fraction of the nitrogen applied to the surface. Only one field had phosphorus applied, and this is lightly incorporated, and then the flood comes on. So here are the water results from the initial sampling time of the, it was during the initial flood. And so we have DOC, dissolved organic carbon, total nitrogen, nitrate and ammonium nitrogen, soluble phosphorus and soluble potassium, as well as salinity or EC. And I'd like you to focus just on the top row here, just to get an idea of the magnitude of the concentrations of solutes in the field. DOC, total N, and soluble potassium are the highest concentrations, so we have very low concentrations of the mineral and soluble phosphorus. And the green values here, these are all the slopes. So this is a change in concentration per 1,000 meters in the field, moving away from the inlets. And so the green values represent increasing concentrations, and the brown are decreasing. And so overwhelmingly, we're seeing increasing concentrations moving down the field in the floodwater. So especially with dissolved organic carbon, total N, and soluble potassium, we're seeing that being pushed down the field. The second sampling time, again, you can see the mean values across all fields of these solutes. DOC is now higher in the fields. You have a lot of biomass there now. And salinity is also higher, where there's been time for solutes to concentrate in the soil or in the water due to evapoconcentration. And this time we're seeing a different trend overall. There's not a lot of significance with the nitrogen. A lot of that's being now taken up by the plants. And soil potassium is now decreasing moving down the field, which we attribute to plant uptake. But still we're seeing increasing DOC concentrations. And salinity is also increasing across all fields. And that would be due to the selective uptake of ions, and the ones that aren't taken up are moving down the field and concentrating in the water. So a recap of this water, the water trends, we're seeing increasing concentrations of DOC, total N, and soluble potassium during that initial flood. And then later in the season, we're seeing DOC increase again, but potassium is now decreasing due to plant uptake, and salinity is also increasing. So now are we seeing these same trends in the water as in the soil? And we are, in fact. Now we have organic carbon, total nitrogen, nitrate nitrogen, extractable phosphorus and potassium, EC and pH. And since we had a wide range of values, I put those up there to get an idea of the variability across all fields. And again, we're seeing a lot of these green slopes. So we're seeing increasing concentrations of organic carbon in most of the fields. Same with total nitrogen, nitrate, nitrogen, extractable P, and also K. And I'd like to point out with the potassium, they did not apply that as a fertilizer. So a lot of that is coming from the straw that they incorporate at the end of the growing season. It has a high concentration of potassium. So that's moving down the field and accumulating in the lowermost basins. For nutrient uptake, the only two significant results were in field 1 and 2, and that those are significantly decreasing and increasing along with the trend that we saw in soil potassium. So we're not really seeing this effect of soil fertility on the uptake of in the plants. But we are seeing the increase in yield moving down the field. In all fields except in one case, we saw a decrease in field 2 in 2008. So we can attribute this to the increase in soil fertility moving down the field, but also we measured water temperature spatially in the fields, and a preliminary look at those is showing us that we're seeing increasing water temperature moving down the field. And in previous work, they've shown cold water effects near the inlets where you have delayed maturation and lower yields. So this could also be a factor playing into this increase in yield we're seeing moving down the field. So in conclusion, soil organic carbon, total nitrogen, and potassium are being redistributed from the uppermost basins to the lowermost basins in the water, and they're accumulating in the soil. Total above ground nutrient uptake is generally not affected by increasing distance from the inlet, but yield is. It's increasing from the inlet to outlet. And this increase in soil fertility as well as water temperature are likely the causes of the increase in yield. For management implications, if growers are actually, by flooding their fields, moving nutrients from those topmost checks to the bottom, over time we would expect the uppermost fields to start to become depleted in nutrients, and a buildup of them in the bottommost checks would be a perfect opportunity to have a variable rate of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium application in these fields. And so future work is going to be looking at spatial crop modeling and hopefully be able to make some recommendations incorporating all the different factors into this. So with that, this work could not have been possible without all the help from the Agroecosystems Lab where I work, and also other people from UC Davis and the rice growers who participated in this research. And thank you all for listening. If you have any questions. Yes.
What time of year did you take your soil samples?
The soil samples were taken in the spring, so right after they tilled the fields and leveled them, we took samples. So in like May, April.
Yeah. I have a question. This may be elementary, but I'm curious. What happens when you say years over years over years in that at the inlet, you get all that concentration there? Do the dig that up and pull it back up to the top of the field?
The movement of soil in the field is typically just for leveling. These rice fields were initially laser leveled to be able to have better water management, and they do touch-up leveling year to year, and that moves just a little bit of soil around, but they're not going and, you know, digging it up and moving the topsoil to the other areas.
I was thinking in terms of like the nutrient loading that you have, how do you
Currently, they don't worry about it. They're just treating their whole fields uniformly. Yes?
What percent yield change was there from the top to the bottom pay?
I wonder if I can go back here. So this is per basin change in yield. And there's about, so in like field one, there are 5 different basins. And so it's increasing about 40 kilograms per hectare with each basin, so percentage-wise.
So that's excessive.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yeah. This field was really high, but it only had 2 basins. It was the modified field.
Do you expect to see different results if the field had been supplied with potash? I noticed some of your potash numbers, the range was 76 to over 500.
Yeah, actually, they were deficient in some of the fields and some of the locations. So that, I'm sure that could also affect the yield, but they would apply that uniformly. So, I mean, maybe in some cases where they're having a deficiency, then that would lower the variability.
Based on your water samples, if someone was to ask you, is rice an efficient nutrient system, would you say it was or was not, based on your water analysis of your study?
I would say that there's a lot of nutrients that are being moved, and even though these are low concentrations, the total flux is going to be pretty high, so they're actually moving their fertilizer down the field. So it's, I mean, it's semi-efficient.
Well, would you say that the nutrients are moving off the field?
I think the majority are staying in the field, since they only drain the field a couple times per growing season, but I'm not sure definitely about that.
Thank you.